Well, good morning, Ascend Church. We would like to welcome you to stand with us as we get ready to worship God this morning. The band's walking up a little late for a good reason. They were in prayer this morning. Hallelujah. So, first of all, I want everybody in the room to give a shout of praise to God this morning. Before we sing a song, Father God, we bless you, we glorify you, and we thank you this morning. Come on, church, don't be shy. Yell out, shout out, come on. Hallelujah. God is faithful and he is so good and worthy of all the praise. And that's my testimony this morning. I can speak from what I know. Come on, church, put your hands together. Come on. I saw Satan fall like lightning, and I saw darkness run full cover. But the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. And I believe in signs and wonders. I have a resurrection power. Still the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. Oh, my praise belongs to you forever. And this is my testimony from death to life, because grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. Oh, you brought me from death to life. Come together, sons and daughters, bought with blood and washed in water, and sing the praises of the Spirit, Son and Father. My God, we'll finish what he started. Come on, declare. Oh, our God, we'll finish what he started. This is my testimony from death to life. This is my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. You know, when I feel like giving up and it all seems too much or like it's over, I realize if I got breath in my body, then he is not done. Come on, somebody sing it with me. If I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, you're not done. No, no, no. Greater things still to come. Oh, I, come on, say. If I'm not dead, you're not done. Hey. Greater things still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things still to come. Oh, I believe. Oh, this is my testimony from death to life. Because grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. Hey, this is my testimony. Oh, I'm alive. This is my testimony from death to life. Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. And this is my testimony. This is my testimony. Oh, you brought me from death to life. Now I'm alive. Somebody shout out a praise. Hey, we bless you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus, yeah.
And I just want to speak the name of Jesus until every dark addiction starts to break. Learning there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. 'Cause your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadow, burn like a fire.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety. To
healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadow, burn like a fire. Shout Jesus on the mountain and Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. And Jesus for my family, I'll speak the holy name, Jesus. Oh,
shout Jesus from the mountain,
Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy.
And Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Oh, shout Jesus.
Shout Jesus from the mountain,
Jesus in the street,
Jesus in the darkness over every enemy.
And Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Your name is power.
Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life.
And break every strong.
Shine through the shadow, burn like a fire.
Your name is power.
Your name is power. Your name is
shadow, burn like a fire. Shout Jesus from the mountain, and Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. And Jesus for my family, I'll speak the holy name, Jesus. Come on, church, and shout Jesus.
Shout Jesus from the mountain, Jesus in the street,
whoa.
Jesus in the darkness over every enemy.
And
Jesus for my family, speak the holy name, Jesus.
Oh, we declare,
shout Jesus from the mountain, Jesus in the street, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy.
And
Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, strung through the shadow, burn like a fire. Come on, somebody, shout Jesus. Come on and shout the most powerful name. Come on. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah. At this time in the service, we'd like to welcome our prayer partners to come forward. And if you're in need of prayer today, we welcome you. Don't be shy. Come and let us pray with you and agree with you in the mighty, powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Now death, where is your sting? Our rest. perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Forever He is glorified. Forever He is lifted high. Forever He is risen. He is alive. He is
across this room. Just bless Him. Just lift up your praise. Lift up your worship. You are worthy, God. We've come to worship and meet with You, Lord. We love You, Lord. We glorify You. We thank You, Jesus. We thank You, Lord. Bless Your holy name. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus.
Every good and perfect thing comes from our Father in heaven. It all belongs to Him. Let's give Him the honor.
You're worthy of it all.
of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Yeah, 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 yeah. You're worthy of it all. Yes, you are, Lord. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You the glory, dominion, honor, power, all belong to you, Lord. You're worthy of it all. So we give it to you, Lord.
You're worthy of it all.
You're worthy of it all.
You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
One more time from our heart.
You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Somebody lift up a praise. Lift up a shout before the King.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to read you this passage. Paul, writing to the church in Ephesus, he says, I pray that you would begin to understand the incredible greatness of his power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realm. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else in this world or in the world to come. And God has put all things under the authority of Christ. And he gave him this authority for the benefit of the church. He gave him this authority for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is filled by Christ, who fills everything everywhere with his presence. Everything that Jesus did, every plan of God, the purpose of God in sending Jesus, was for your benefit and my benefit. Nothing was done for his benefit. It was for your benefit and my benefit. And the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that is available to us today. And the Bible says that every ruler and every authority, whether it's in this earth or it's from another realm, it all comes under the authority of Jesus. And all that authority has been gained for the benefit of the church. And so today, as Christ fills this building, we are not a church without him, because he is the head and we are but the body. So we thank you, Lord, for your presence that fills this place. We thank you, Lord, for your presence, because we come to worship you. We come together in your name. We come as your children. And we stand in the authority that has been given to us in Christ Jesus. And we declare that every enemy that comes against us, family, I want you to think about the things that have come against you. Every demonic force that has come against you, come against your children, come against your family, come against your marriage, come against your mind, come against your finances, come against your body. Every single force that has come against you falls under the rule and the authority of the name of Jesus. And so right now, we take that authority. Lord Jesus, we're not letting you do that for no benefit. We take the benefit that comes from the authority you've given us. We take the benefit of that, and in the name of Jesus Christ, I take authority over every demonic force that has come against your life and against your family and against your home. In the name of Jesus, we break every power. We declare, devil, you are under our feet. Whether it's in the natural, the things we face, or the supernatural, we know that all good things come from the Father, and anything that steals, kills, or destroys comes from the devil. So, devil, we recognize you. We're not ignorant of your devices. And we just take our authority right now in the name of Jesus. And we say, take your hands off. Take your hands off every area of my life. because I am over you. I am ruling over you in every area. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. There's a freedom that comes when you know what you have in Christ, when you know what He's paid, bought and paid for. Amen. Thank you, Father, for freedom. Steve, why don't you take these? Just wait a minute. Kimbra Bosiri Andela Ka. I don't know about you, but I'm not in a hurry to get out of the presence of God. Who needs a program when you can tap into the power of the Holy Spirit? Kimbra Bosoro Boyandela Ka. For the day has come, says the Lord, where it's not time for you to Mickey Mouse around. It's not time for you to play games. It is time for you to step up and take the authority that I've given you. It's time for you to step up and take the authority that I have already given you. Because as long as you tolerate, I said, as long as you tolerate what the devil throws at you, you will keep, it'll keep coming. It'll, you'll wake up to it coming and you'll go to sleep with it coming. But if you will recognize what I have done for you and you will say, I do not tolerate this in my life. I do not tolerate this sickness. I do not tolerate this strife. I do not tolerate my child being away from God. I do not tolerate this attack on my finances. If you will stand up, and when you will stand up, says the Lord, is when I can work in your life. Because I gained the authority, but then I gave it to you. So if you don't do something about it, nothing is going to get done. So take your authority, says the Lord. Step up into everything I have for you. Refuse to let the devil have 1 inch of your life. Say it right now. Say, devil, I refuse to let you have 1 inch in my body, in my mind, in my home, in my finances. I take my authority. I take a stand. I say, enough is enough. I will not tolerate your attack on my life. I will not allow you to work your works in my home. I will not allow you to take from me what God has promised. So take your hands off for once and for all in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, family. If you believe that, say, thank you, Lord. 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 Honestly, why would we let Jesus do what He did and not take what He paid for? Why would we let Him suffer and take? He didn't come. He didn't need it. He didn't need to come to earth. He didn't need to pay for anything. He didn't have any sin. He didn't need to break the curse because He wasn't cursed. Everything He did was for you and me. Everything He did was for you and me. And it's pointless if we won't receive it. So don't tolerate the work of the devil. Don't tolerate an attack on your faith. Stand strong in all that God has given you. Stand strong in all He's given you. The Bible says He's given us the Holy Spirit as a guarantee that we are His children, that we have an inheritance from Him, that we are seated in heavenly realms right now. We are seated in heavenly realms right now. You know what that means if you're seated in heavenly realms? It means that you are far above. Not just is He far above, but I'm far above. You far above. Don't tolerate it. Don't walk out this door and pick that up again and say, oh, my problems. I got my problems. Oh, my health problems. Oh, my financial problems. Don't pick it up. Don't tolerate it. Leave it. Leave it for once and for all. Hallelujah. That's the sound, that's the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to the church today. He wants us to know. Paul said, I pray, I pray that you would have a spiritual understanding of what God's done for us. Amen. Man, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Well, won't you turn and greet someone? Tell them you're glad to see them and you may be seated. Oh my gosh. Wonderful to see you, family, in the house of God this morning. Welcome to Ascend Church. We're so glad that you're here today. To those that are watching online, if you're watching on YouTube or Facebook Live today or on our app on Ascend Church, or if you're watching on our website, we are grateful that you've joined us. We thank you for being part of the service today, and we pray that God minister to you right where you're sitting. Just put aside all distractions. If you're watching on Facebook, let us know where you're watching from. We have people, it always surprises me, people watch from all over the world, different places. And let us know where you're watching from, and let the Lord minister to you today. Amen. And go ahead and share that live broadcast. That's a good thing to do. Well, how are you all doing? Been a good week? Can you believe we're in March? And it's hot as summer. I'm not going to say hot as hell, right? Hot as summer. It was 90 degrees yesterday afternoon, but better than the snow. That's what I can say. So praise God. Well, I'm glad you're in church this morning. Welcome to each of you. And we want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. If you've never been to a service at our church, would you mind just, we just want to hand something to you. Would you just wave your hand wherever you're sitting? God bless you. God bless you. Wonderful. Welcome. Welcome. We're so glad. I was talking to this dear lady. It's a South African lady, Elka, right? She was. We were talking about, I told her where I grew up, and she said, oh, I had a business there, and when she told me the salon she had, I think I had my first perm at your salon. I was like really young, but I did. It's funny, isn't it? What a small world.
Absolutely.
Van Riebeck Avenue in Edenvale. It's not a big town. It's not a big town. And so how wonderful to have you here. Isn't it interesting, the lives God connects? Right? And anyway, there's a card that says guest, and we ask you to just fill that out, and when an offering bucket comes by at the end of the service, just drop it in and come and greet Pastor Steve after the service, me. We'd love to just chat to you. Thank you for being here today. And as I said, we've got various ways to watch the service, Facebook, YouTube. I like that they are on demand afterwards. And so if you hear something in the message today and you said, I kind of remember that, but I need to go back over and I need to write something down. Well, we actually do have the sermon outline there. So use that. Follow along and write your notes in there. It's a good thing to keep, because we're actually, when you have a pastor that's also a teacher, you're going to get taught line upon line. And you've got some notes. It's a good Bible study. So keep that. Go through it in your Bible. During the week, as you're studying the word, reading the word for yourself, and we pray that that'll bless you. And we're going to pass a clipboard by, if you wouldn't mind putting your details on. It's kind of important to us because people change addresses, they change phone numbers, they change email addresses, and they forget. You ever do that and you forget to let somebody know, and then all your mail keeps going to that place? Well, it's the same with the church. We'd really like to keep our records updated. So if anything's changed, just write it on there. Otherwise, if it's the same, just check mark. Let us know that you're here. We appreciate that. And before we get into the word, I just want to remind you of the four main purposes of our church. They don't change. The first one is to help you to know God. I want to know God. I'm coming to know God more and more. How about you? Second of all, I want to help you to find freedom in every area of your life. We've got people that could testify. Put your hand up, Josh. Testify to freedom. Total freedom. Demony, freedom. Total freedom. Any one of us can testify to God setting us free. He's able to do that. We want people to find freedom in every area of their life, to discover their purpose, to make a difference with their life. Amen. And we're ready. You know, where are you going, Pastor? I was going to do it at the end because we're going to do the cake. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you today. You know, our theme for this year. What is our theme for the year? That was last year. Fit for the Kingdom. This year is, I know it's not a, we're on a mission. Say we're on a mission. On a mission to do what? Last Sunday, I spoke about how that you need the church and the church needs you. And if you weren't here last Sunday, I would really encourage you to go and watch that, to watch last Sunday's sermon. You can watch it on our app. You can watch it on our YouTube channel. You can even watch it on Facebook. But I really would encourage you to watch it because Jesus said, I will build my church. It's the only thing Jesus is building in the world today is his church. And if Jesus is built, if that's what Jesus is involved with, that's what I want to be involved with. And the actual truth is we are the church. And we're on a mission to build the church. I said we're on a mission to build the church. And that means we want to reach more people and bring them into the church to know Jesus. Can you say amen? And you know, like today reminds me, it just reminds me once again how important it is to be in church for us as believers. Because what happened today with the presence of the Lord, the presence of God here, you only experience that in a live service. When the Holy Spirit begins to move and speak through my wife, and you don't even know what we prayed for and what you said connects. When we were up there praying and Pastor Jill wasn't there, she didn't know. And she gets up here and speaks by the Spirit of God what we're praying about. You can't get that unless you're in church. You got to be in a live service. The Bible says God inhabits our praise. That means that when we begin to worship Him, the presence of God begins to be demonstrated, manifested. The presence of God is here today. I can feel His presence with us. Can you sense the presence of the Lord? Let me tell you, the key is worship. The Bible says, put on the garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. In other words, if you're feeling heavy, discouraged, down, I'm telling you the quickest way out of it is worship the Lord. That's what I do. I worship God every day of my life. I don't wait till Sunday. Every day of my life, I worship Him. And let me tell you, there are times when I feel heavy, when I feel discouraged. People have no idea what it's like to be in the ministry. They got no idea. They think it's just preaching on Sunday. This is the fun part. This is the best part. But there are times when I feel discouraged and heavy. And you know what I do? I begin to worship the Lord. I begin to worship the Lord. And as I worship Him, that heaviness lifts. That discouragement lifts. And the presence of God comforts me, strengthens me. Amen? I want to encourage you once again. Don't miss out on any of the worship. And when you, and don't just stand there looking around, but enter in and worship Him. Forget about everybody else and worship Him. I promise you right now, church will be so different for you when you enter into worship. Can anybody say amen? Hold that for me. I'll do it later. I'm going to do that later. Just hold it on. Hold on for a sec. Praise the Lord. Let me just say this, that we are 5 weeks out of Easter. In 5 weeks' time is Easter. The greatest event in the history of all the world was Jesus' death and resurrection. The greatest power God ever displayed was when Jesus was raised from the dead. Such an amazing thing. If we could really comprehend what God did, because when Jesus was raised from the dead, every single one of us was raised from the dead with Him, because He did it in our place. So we got 5 weeks to Easter, and our theme and our mission is to make disciples, to build the church. I want to encourage you. I want this Easter to be the best Easter and the biggest Easter, and have more people come to church than we ever had before. Would anybody else like to see that? So I want to encourage you, start thinking about who you're going to bring to Easter. We've decided this year we're going to do something that we haven't done before. We are going to have a Good Friday service on Good Friday, on the Friday night of Easter weekend. We call it Good Friday because it was good for us. Wasn't so good for Jesus. He suffered unimaginably, but it was good for us. So on Friday is when we remember Jesus' crucifixion. And then on Sunday, we remember His resurrection. So why not have a service on Good Friday, the day that we remember Jesus laying His life down for you and me? Why not be in church on that Friday? So we're going to do a Friday night. We're going to do a 1 hour service from 7 till 8, 1 hour. You can still go and have dinner afterwards. And that's so, it's going to be two different services, two different sermons, Friday, which is April 7th, and Easter Sunday is April 9th. And then April 11th is my wife's birthday. So anyway, praise the Lord. Are you ready for God's Word today? Thank you to our worship team who do such a wonderful job. We appreciate you. You are anointed. You are talented. And what a great time of worship today. Great time of worship. Amen. Father, we praise You today. We worship You. We magnify You. We're so glad. We're so thankful, Lord, for Your goodness. We're so thankful for Jesus. Father, today, as I speak and teach Your word, I make it known that I'm not trusting in myself, Lord. I'm not depending on my own human wisdom or ability. I'm trusting in You, Holy Spirit, that thank You that You anoint me. Thank You that You speak through me. Thank You that You bring understanding. You bring revelation to every person. Thank You that we walk out of here changed, Lord, different from the way we came in. And I give You all the praise, the glory, the honor in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. So we have a lady from South Africa, your Omar. I didn't get a chance to meet you. What is your name? Elke, are you from Edenvale? You lived in Edenvale 20 years. Gosh. This is where we grew up. Jill and I grew up in Edenvale. That's where we went to school, Edenvale High School. So it's so amazing that you're here today. Praise the Lord, everybody. Are you ready for God's Word? Well, today I want to speak to you about choose life, speak life. And I want to start out in Deuteronomy chapter 30. If you have your Bible with you, does anyone bring their Bible to church anymore? But if you do, turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 30. If you don't have a Bible with you, it's going to come up on the screen. Now, the scriptures must only come on the screen when I start speaking them. Don't steal my thunder, okay? So Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, look what it says. Today, I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Say this. Say, God has given me the choice between life and death, between blessing and cursing. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice that you make. Oh, that you would choose life. So God wants us to choose life. That's what he's hoping we'll choose, is life. So that you and your descendants may live, you can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. Say, this is the key that I've been looking for. This is the key to your life. If you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. If you will love and obey the Lord, you will live long. We can choose between life or death, between blessings or curses. God wants us to choose blessing. He wants us to choose life. And the key is to choose to obey God. If you want to choose life, blessing, then you got to choose to obey God. Because the blessings of God require obedience to him and to his word. Now let me tell you, God loves you no matter what you do. Whatever you do, whether you obey God or whether you don't obey God, he'll still love you. But let me tell you, the blessings of God hinge upon your obedience. It says, if you love and obey God, you will live long. Some people think we have an appointed time to die. Have you ever heard that? When it's your time, then it's your time. Nothing you can do about it. You ever heard anyone say that? Oh, it was just his time. It was her time. Can I tell you that's not true? The scripture says in Hebrews 9, verse 27, it is appointed for men to die once. And after this, the judgment. Now, that's not saying we have an appointed time. It's saying that we all are going to die. One time. And then the judgment. But there's no set appointed time. Now listen to this. Proverbs 3 verse 1. It says, my son, forget not my law, my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. There we go again. For length of days and years of a life worth living, and tranquility inward and outward, and continuing through old age till death, these they shall add to you. That means I can add days to my life. I can add time to my life. I can extend my life, because when I obey God, it says it will add length of days to my life. You kidding this? If your death was an appointed set day, there wouldn't be anything you could do to add to it or to take away from it. But you can add years to your life. And can I tell you something else? You can also take years away. They are things that will cut your life short. The wages of sin is death. But obeying God will lengthen your life. So I want to talk to you today about choosing life. I'm talking about choosing abundant life, choosing eternal life, and choosing a long life. Jesus said in John 10, verse 10, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's talking about the devil. That's what the devil does. He kills, he steals, he destroys. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Say, Jesus came to give me abundant life. He came that we could live an abundant life and that we could have eternal life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. He loved the world so much that he gave his only son so that anyone who believes in him shall not perish but will have eternal life. Say this, say, Jesus came to bring me eternal life, to bring me abundant life, and to bring me a long life. Now notice here in Hebrews 5 verse 9, it says Jesus became the giver of eternal salvation to all those who, to all those who believe in him. Is that what it says? That's what some people think it says. Jesus is not the giver of eternal life to those who believe in him. He's the giver of eternal life to those who obey him. It all comes back to obedience. God wants you to choose life. He wants you to choose abundant life. He wants you to choose long life. And he wants you to choose eternal life. And the choice is yours. Whether or not you walk in abundant life, it's your choice. Whether or not you have eternal life, it's your choice. And whether or not you live a long life, it's your choice. Somebody told me about a young man. He was coming to our church. He was serving. He was involved. He stopped coming, went back, I think, into his past life. I think he had come out of addiction, drug addiction. Anyway, someone told me. I hadn't seen him in a couple of years. Valentine's Day, he was shot dead on Singer Island, outside a bar in Singer Island. 30 years old, 28 years old, something like that, shot dead. Let me tell you right now, when you stop coming to church and you stop serving God, you got no guarantee of tomorrow. You got no guarantee. But if you will keep serving and loving the Lord and obeying him, being in church, you'll live a long life. Amen, Carol. Amen, Carol. Gloria, amen. We must choose to obey God and obey his word. That's why every scripture in the Bible, just about every scripture I can think of where God promises to bless you or prosper you, it always contains this prerequisite of obedience. For example, in Deuteronomy 28 verse 2, it says, all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you. Why? Because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. How about Job 36 verse 11? If they obey and serve him, they will spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. The first key to choosing life, abundant life, eternal life, and long life, first key is to choose to obey God. The second key is to choose to speak life. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Do you know that your words produce fruit in your life? The contemporary English version says words can bring death or life, and you will eat everything you say. The Bible says you're going to eat what you say. You ever heard anyone say, you're going to eat those words? That is actually true. You're going to eat the things you say. The Message Bible says, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit, you choose. You can either poison your life by the words you speak, or you can produce fruit, results, by the words you speak. The Passion Bible says, your words are so powerful that they will kill or give life, and the talkative person will reap the consequence. That means my words carry consequences. Are you with me? Your words have the power of life and death, blessing and cursing. Your words have consequences. They produce fruit. They produce results in your life. It's our choice whether or not we're going to speak words of life, words of blessing, or we're going to speak words of death and words of cursing. Depends on what words we choose to speak. Because you can either speak words of death or words of life. I encourage you to choose to speak words of life. Speak words of blessing. I will not curse my life with my words. I don't care what's going on around me. It might look like, oh, hell broke loose. I've been there many times. I will not curse my life with my words. Because our words have creative power. Some people, man, they're speaking death. They're speaking defeat. They're speaking curses over their life. They say things like, oh, you know, if the economy's so bad, inflation's so high, price of gas is so high, I don't know how I'm going to make it. I can't afford to live anymore. You never want to say something like that. Now, I like the price of gas low, but I don't care how expensive gas gets. My God will supply all my needs. My God will supply all my needs. I understand that you may be facing a challenge right now, but I want you to speak life and blessing over yourself, no matter what you face. Don't curse yourself with your words. If you want that situation to turn around, you've got to call in defeat. Excuse me. You've got to call in victory. Don't call in defeat. Proverbs 6 verse 2 says you're trapped by the words of your own mouth. A lot of people don't realize they're trapping themselves by their own words. Proverbs 13 verse 3, guard your words and you'll guard your life. But if you don't control your tongue, it'll ruin everything. Proverbs 12 verse 6, the mouth of the upright will deliver them. The mouth of the upright will deliver them. I can be delivered by the words that come out my mouth. That's why you got to guard your words. Because your words can trap you or your words can deliver you. Your words can bless you or your words can curse you. You might be facing some problems right now. It might not look like it's ever going to change. You may not see a way out. But you need to send your words out in the direction that you want your life to go. Instead of complaining and saying, oh, I tell you what, this is going to be a lousy day. I just don't seem to be able to get ahead. Nothing good ever seems to happen for me. I just never seem to get any good breaks. Listen, man, that is cursing your life and trapping yourself with your words. Amen. Don't use your words to describe the situation. No, use your words to change that situation. Dare to make a declaration of faith. Dare to say, man, this is going to be a great day today. I've got God's favor on me. He's directing my steps. And whatever I touch, it prospers and succeeds. You know what you just did? You just spoke words of life. You just blessed your future. You just called in favor, increase. You just called in good breaks. Let me ask you, what have you been calling in your life? What have you been speaking over your family, over your children, over your health, over your finances? Because it's not enough just to think it. It's not enough just to even believe it. You give life to your faith when you speak it out of your mouth. Maybe you say, oh, Pastor Steve, my child's never going to do what's right. My son, he just won't listen to me. I don't think he's ever going to get back on the right course. That's calling in more of the same. You need to change what you're saying. You need to say, Father, I thank you that my child is blessed. My child is making good decisions. He's free from every stronghold, and he will fulfill his destiny. You speak those words over them in faith. The fact of the matter is your child may be as rebellious as can be right now. But when you're with your friends, don't talk about how bad they are, how they're never going to change. Speak life, speak victory over them. When your friends ask you, how's your son doing? How's your daughter doing? You say, man, you know what? He's blessed. He's making good decisions. He's kind, respectful. He just doesn't know it yet. Those words are like seeds. That's your faith being released. When God hears it, man, he says to the angels, do you hear what she's saying? Do you hear what he's saying? She's speaking faith. She's speaking life. Angels, I've got an assignment for you. Get down there and start turning that situation around. You may say, Pastor Steve, that sounds crazy. I'm going to show that to you right out of the Bible. You have to call in what you want. That's what God does. The Bible says in Romans 4:17, God, who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. God calls things that are not as though they were. And God wants you and me to do the same thing he does. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 13, since we have the same spirit of faith, same spirit of faith as God, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore we speak. We speak what we believe. And what do we believe? We believe what God says. If God says I can do all things through Christ, then I say I can do all things through Christ because that's what God says about me. You've got to call in the things that are not as if they already are. That means you may not feel well, but you shouldn't go around saying, well, I tell you what, my back's been hurting me for years. I'm getting so old. I don't think I'm going to get any better. I just seem to be getting worse and worse. No, you just spoke defeat and death into your future. You got to turn that around and speak life and say, thank you, Jesus, that you took my sickness and you bore my disease, and by your stripes I was healed, and God is restoring health unto me. I'm getting stronger. I'm getting healthier. I'm getting younger. My youth is being renewed. My best days are still up ahead. You just spoke life. You just spoke blessing. You're going to get what you call in. That's why we got to pay attention to what we're saying. I know some people, they're always tired and run down. You know what they say? I'm so tired. I don't have any energy. I'm so tired. They've said it so much, it's become a reality. Because the more you talk about it, the more you're going to call it in. If you wake up in the morning and you feel a little lethargic, maybe you feel a little tired, instead of complaining, start declaring, I'm strong. I'm strong in the Lord, the power of His might. I'm full of energy. God is renewing my strength. I can do all things that I need to do today. You see, the Bible says in Joel 3:10, let the weak say, I'm strong. Let the weak say, I'm strong. The more you talk about being tired, the more tired you're going to be. The more you talk about how depressed you are, the more depressed you're going to be. The more you talk about being how overweight you are, the more overweight you're going to be. Some people say, I just got 10 more pounds to go, and I just can't lose these 10 pounds. And they've been saying that for 10 years. The more out of shape that you say you are, the more out of shape you're going to be. You've got to switch into victory. Don't talk about the way you are. Talk about the way you want to be. Don't speak defeat over your life. Speak faith. Speak victory. Speak life over your life. In Psalm 107, verse 2, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Are you the redeemed of the Lord? You've got to say so. We've got to say what we've been redeemed from. What have we been redeemed from? Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, you know, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The Bible says Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. So what's the curse of the law? It's the curse that comes upon us for breaking God's law, and you can read about it in Deuteronomy chapter 28. It lists all the blessings that come upon you for obeying and keeping God's law, and then all the curses that come upon you for breaking God's law. And the thing is, we've all broken God's law, so that curse came on us, but Jesus came and redeemed us from the curse of the law. He paid the price for us. If you read Deuteronomy 28, it starts out listing all the blessings that come on you for obeying God. Then it lists all the curses that come for disobeying God. And the curse includes sickness. Sickness is part of the curse. It includes financial lack. That's part of the curse. It includes defeat, death. That's all part of the curse. And the Bible says we've been redeemed from the curse so that the blessing of Abraham could come on us. And the blessing that was on Abraham caused him to prosper, caused him to be healthy. He had a child at 100 years old. He must have been pretty healthy. What do you think? In Genesis 24, verse 35, Abraham's servant said, the Lord has greatly blessed my master, talking about Abraham. He's become a wealthy man. The Lord has given him flocks of sheep and goats and herds of cattle, a fortune in silver, gold, and many male and female servants, camels and donkeys. He said that God is the one who blessed Abraham, and as a result of God's blessing on Abraham, he became wealthy. Do you know Proverbs 10:22 says the blessing of the Lord makes a person rich and he adds no sorrow with it? You see, God has redeemed us from the curse so that we can walk in the blessing, and the blessing will cause you to prosper. The blessing will cause you to be successful. The blessing will cause you to even to be wealthy. You've got to realize sickness and poverty, it's a curse. It's not a blessing, it's a curse. It's not from God. And you've been redeemed from that curse. And you've been given God's blessing, and you need to say so. You need to declare it. I am blessed. If you're going to overcome that sickness, you're going to have to say so. If you're going to overcome that addiction, you're going to have to say so. If you want God to supply your financial need, you're going to have to say so. If you're going to get out of debt, you're going to have to say so. Nothing happens till you speak it out. It doesn't say let the redeemed of the Lord think so. It doesn't say let the redeemed of the Lord believe so. No, it's important to think right. It's important to believe right. But something supernatural happens when you begin to speak out of your mouth words of life, words of blessing. Something supernatural happens. In Job 22, verse 28, it says, you will also declare a thing, and then it shall be established for you. You declare it, and then it will be established. That's what God says. I was reading this the other day, Psalm 81, verse 10, from the Passion Bible. Look what it says. Open your mouth with a mighty decree. I will fulfill it now. You'll see. The words that you speak, so shall it be. Isn't that a powerful scripture there? Man, I love it. Open your mouth with a mighty decree. I will fulfill it now. You'll see. The words you speak, so shall it be. Gosh, man, there's a correlation between what we say and what God does. You know, you can't be passive and say, well, I'm not going to say anything negative. I'm going to make sure I don't say any of the wrong words. I'm not going to speak death. I'm not going to speak negative. That's good, but it's not good enough. Because if you want to see God's best, you've got to not just refrain from saying the wrong things, but you've got to on purpose make an effort to speak victory, to speak blessing over your life. Because the truth is, God, are you ready for this? God cannot do more for you than what your words allow him to. I'm going to show that to you in the Bible. Instead of saying what your circumstances are telling you, you need to say what God says about you. The economy may be bad, but my God supplies all my needs. Father, I thank you. I have your favor on my life. Thank you directing my steps, causing me to be in the right place at the right time. Thank you, Lord. Your favor is bringing opportunity to me. Your favor is opening doors. Your favor is bringing increase and promotion. Thank you, Lord. You're blessing me so I can be a blessing to others. Lord, I may be a little lonely right now, but I thank you. You're bringing somebody into my life, and I will get married. I may not have met him yet, but he's on his way. He's tall, dark, and handsome. He's on his way. You've got to speak out. Call the things that be not as though they are. Hello? I've heard single people. I've heard them tell me, there's nobody out there. There is no one. There's no good men left. What are you talking about? Sure there are. You may not have met him, but instead of saying there's no one out there, I can't seem to meet anybody, you're cursing yourself. Say, Lord, thank you. You got the right man out there, the right woman out there for me, and you are leading and guiding us to meet one another. Psalm 91, verse 2. It says this, I will say of the Lord. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. On him I lean and rely, and in him I confidently trust. For then he will deliver you from the deadly pestilence. So he said, I will say, then God will do. I will say, and then God will do. You notice that connection? If you're not saying of the Lord, then he can't do what you want him to do. If you want God to protect you, you've got to say it. You've got to declare Psalm 91, the angels of the Lord. When I ride my motorcycle, especially, I say, thank you, Lord, for your angels that protect me from all those demons out there. driving in their cars. Amen. Move on for me. Thank you, Allison. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. He is my fortress. On Him I lean and rely. In Him I confidently trust. He will deliver me from the deadly disease. He will deliver me. We've been delivered from the deadly disease. COVID. We've been delivered. When you start saying of the Lord, then He shall do. But if we're not saying anything, I mean, you could read that passage the other way. I will not say of the Lord, and then He will not do. Psalm 2:7. I will declare the decree of the Lord. Say, I will declare the decree of the Lord. What does that mean? I will declare the decree of the Lord. It means I will declare what God has said. I will find promises in the Bible, the scriptures, and I will declare God's decree, what He says. I will say of the Lord. I will remind God what He said. Isaiah 62. I do this every day. Isaiah 62. I repeat this. The Lord hears me say this scripture every day. Because I say, Lord, in Isaiah 62, verse 6, You said, by Your prayers, put the Lord in remembrance of His promises. Keep not silent and give Him no rest until He brings it to pass. And then I remind God, God, You said, my God shall supply all Your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I say, Lord, I'm not depending and looking to any person in this church. I'm not looking to You. I'm not looking to You. I'm not looking to a wealthy. I'm not looking to the millionaires. My God supplies all my needs. I'm not looking to my job. I'm not looking to the economy. My God supplies all my needs. And I remind Him of His promise. See, it's easy to speak positive when everything's going well. But it's even more important to speak words of faith when you're facing difficult times. That's especially when you've got to speak words of faith. In Psalm 116, verse 10, it says, even when it seems I'm surrounded by many liars and my own fears, and though at times I'm hurting in my suffering, in my trauma, I still stay faithful to God and speak words of faith. That means no matter what comes against me, I will still stay faithful and speak words of faith. We must speak faith no matter what. Some of you are not speaking enough victory over your life. You wonder why you're not getting good breaks. Why that situation's not turning around? Are you speaking faith every day? Do you get up every morning and declare in faith, Lord, I am blessed. I walk in divine health. The Lord is protecting me. The favor of God is around me, opening new doors for me. I will fulfill my destiny. Maybe you say, well, Steve, I'd love to do that, but I've got this sickness. I haven't been feeling well. I just believe in telling it like it is. I'm not saying you should deny the facts. I'm simply saying, get in agreement with God. He said, let the weak say, I'm strong. Let the sick say, I'm healed. Let the poor say, I'm rich. Let the weak say, I'm strong. He didn't say, let the weak talk about their weakness. We're not supposed to talk about the way it is. We're supposed to speak out our faith, speak the desired result. We've got to get in agreement and say what God says. Can I tell you what God says about you? One thing God says about you, in Romans 8:37, it says, yet even in the midst of all these things, we triumph over them all, for God has made us to be more than a conqueror. God says you are more than a conqueror. Say, I am more than a conqueror. That's what God says about you. If God says I'm more than a conqueror, I may not feel like it. I may not look like it. But if God says it, I'm going to agree with Him. And I'm going to say, hey, I am more than a conqueror. I may not feel like more than a conqueror. I might feel like I'm being conquered, but I'm going to declare I am more than a conqueror in the name of Jesus. You may be struggling in your finances. I've been there many times. I declare Philippians 4 verse 19. And my God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I declare Psalm 23 verse 1. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. I don't lack anything. These things that I'm telling you, I declare every day of my life. Every day of my life. Lord, you're my shepherd. Because you're my shepherd, thank you, I have more than enough. I say that when I don't have any money in the bank. I still say, Lord, I have more than enough because you're my shepherd. And somehow, some way, God makes a way. I declare Deuteronomy 28 verse 2. All these blessings come on me and overtake me because I'm obeying the voice of the Lord. Deuteronomy 28 verse 12. You shall lend and you will never need to borrow. Lord, you said I'd never need to borrow. I believe we have the money to pay this building off and we don't have any mortgage. Now, at the moment, we've got a $3 million mortgage. But I believe that God supplies all our needs. And somehow, some way, we got the money coming in. And we're going to pay this whole thing off and be debt free. Because God wants us debt free. God wants you debt free. How many of you would like to see your house paid off? How many of you like to be paid off in your house? Or have a house? How many of you like to have a house paid for? Only a few people? Well, let me tell you, if you want God to pay off your house, get excited about God's house getting paid off. Because if you're not interested in what happens in this house, God's not that interested in what happens in your house. Where did I get that from? Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and all these other things will be given to you. When you take care of God's house, I found God takes care of your house. You need to declare, I'm blessed. God's supplying all my needs. I have more than enough. I'm a tither. The windows of heaven are open above me because I'm a tither. Can I tell you that I pray for all our tithers, all of you who are faithful to tithe. First of all, I want to say thank you. I want to thank you for being faithful to tithe. And I want you to know, I pray for you. I pray the windows of heaven, thank you, Lord, that the windows of heaven are open above every tither in our church. And I thank you that you are pouring blessing upon them so that they can tithe twice as much as they are now, so they can tithe three times as much as they are now, so they can tithe 10 times as much as they are right now. Thank you, Lord, for pouring out blessing that they can't contain. That's what I pray for you. I pray that every tither in the church, you'll be so blessed, you'll be able to tithe twice what you're tithing right now. Now, if you're not tithing, it doesn't apply to you because you're not obeying the Lord. You're not choosing life. Do you know that not tithing, you're choosing curse? You are choosing to be cursed instead of being blessed. And everybody said, amen, Pastor Steve. That's good preaching, Pastor Steve. Keep on going. I'm listening, right? Proverbs 18:21. Tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Proverbs 13:2, a man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth. Isaiah 57:19, I create the fruit of the lips. Do you know the Bible says we're going to eat the fruit of our words? God creates the fruit of our lips. You may not be where you want to be today, but could it be because of the words that you've been speaking over your life? Because we've said things like, well, I don't think I'm going to rise any higher. I think I've gone as far as I can go. I'm never going to be able to do that. I'm never going to be able to afford that. And sure enough, we're stuck at the same place year after year. Or maybe we've said, I'm never going to break this addiction. I've had it too long. It's just too hard. And just like we said it, it still controls us today. We need to change what we're saying. Our attitude should be this. This may be the way that it's been in the past, but that's not the way it's staying. I'm coming up higher. I may feel weak, but my declaration is I am strong. I may have had this addiction for years, but I'm declaring I'm free. I may be facing financial challenges, but I believe God's meeting all my needs. When you start saying of the Lord, I'm healthy, I'm whole, I'm blessed, I'm free, I'm prospering. When you say it, God promised he will do it. Maybe you say, Steve, I've been making declarations for a long time, man. I don't see anything happening. I don't see anything changing. Well, that's why the Bible says in Hebrews 10, verse 23, we must continue to hold firmly to our declaration of faith, because the one who made the promise, he's faithful. You got to hold on to that, speaking that declaration of faith, man. If you keep speaking words of faith, words of life, words of blessing, speaking victory, speaking favor, speaking health, speaking wholeness, God is faithful, and those seeds that you've been sowing, you will reap them in due season. You will eat the fruit of your words. You will eat the fruit of your words. Jesus spoke about how powerful our words are. One time Jesus was on his way to Bethany. He was hungry. He went over to this fig tree, wanted to get something to eat. Fig tree didn't have any fruit on it, so Jesus spoke to the tree. He said, no one will eat fruit from you ever again. The disciples heard what he said. They must have thought, man, that's strange. He's talking to trees now. They examined the tree. Didn't look any different. They must have thought, man, Jesus is losing his touch. Didn't work this time. Tree looks just the same. But what they didn't realize was that in the unseen realm, the moment that Jesus spoke to that tree, something happened. In the root system, the life was cut off. And it was just a matter of time before what happened on the inside showed up on the outside. Sure enough, the next day, they passed by that same tree. The Bible says in Mark 11, verse 20, in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said, Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed. How did Jesus curse it? By what he said. The fig tree you cursed has withered away. Jesus took this opportunity to teach us about the power of our words. Verse 22, Jesus answered them. He said, have faith in God, or have the faith of God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that the things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Gosh, that's powerful. Jesus said, if whatever you say with your mouth, when you believe what you're saying, you will have whatever you say, good or bad. We've got to stop speaking about the mountain and start speaking to the mountain. Don't use your words to describe your situation. Use your words to change your situation. When Jesus spoke to the tree, it didn't look like anything happened, but it did. And you know, this, it's true with us as well. When you begin to speak and declare God's word, the moment God's promises come out your mouth, in the unseen realm, something happens. You may not see the results for a day or a week or a month or maybe even for a year, but that doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Too often we cancel out our promises by speaking negative words. We may start out right, but over time, when we don't see things happen, we get discouraged. We let go of our confession of faith. But you see, you cannot speak defeat and expect to have victory. You cannot talk sickness and expect to have health. You cannot talk lack and poverty and expect to live an abundant life. That's why God tells us, hold fast the confession, the declaration of your faith. You've got to be determined. No matter how long it's taking, no matter how bad it looks, you're not going to give in. It's like right now, I don't see any way in the world that we could have $3 million to pay off the mortgage. I don't see any way. I don't have to. Thank God that's not my department. All I've got to do is believe and declare and speak what the word is. That's all I've got to do. You've got to be determined. You're not going to give in. You're not going to start speaking doubt and unbelief. You've got to keep declaring favor over your finance. Keep speaking victory over that sickness, freedom over that addiction. Amen. Some of you, man, you need to shift into a new gear, because you're not speaking enough faith over your life. You've got big dreams, but you've got to declare favor in a big way, man. It's not enough to just say it once a week when you come to church. Oh, Lord, I hope you bless me this week. No, every day, all day, you should be saying, Father, I want to thank you that I'm blessed. I want to thank you that I'm prospering. I want to thank you that I'm healthy, that I'm free, that I'm favored. I want to thank you. Your favor surrounds me like a shield. Your favor's opening doors nobody can shut. Your favor's bringing me supernatural opportunity, divine connections in the name of Jesus, man. If you don't get your words going in the right direction and start speaking life and blessing, you're not going to experience it. Nothing happens until you begin to say it. Can I tell you, sometimes we are our own worst enemies. Because often the biggest problem in our life is an inch from our nose. Our own mouth. Don't let that be you. When you speak faith, you speak life, you're in agreement with God. You're declaring the decree of the Lord. When you speak defeat, you're in agreement with the enemy. God talk brings God on the scene. Enemy talk brings the enemy on the scene. Maybe you say, well, Pastor Steve, I got some big problems and obstacles. I don't see how it could ever work out. Don't talk about your problem. Talk to your problem. You got to speak to that mountain. Don't speak about the mountain. Speak to the mountain. Too often we talk to God about how big our problem is, and we should be talking to our problems about how big our God is. When you face challenges, don't talk defeat. Speak life. Speak faith. You can either defeat giants with your words, or your words can allow you to be defeated by the giants of life. Now, I'm going to close with two examples in the Bible of how what they got exactly what they said. The first one is when God delivered the children of Israel from Egypt. And he told them to go and take the promised land because he had already given it to them. So Moses sends 12 spies to go spy out the promised land. And after 40 days, they come back. And this is what they say in Numbers chapter 13. We went to the land that you sent us to see, and it is indeed a magnificent country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is some of the fruit we brought back as proof. But, the people living there are powerful. Their cities are fortified. Very large. And what's more, we saw the Anakim giants there. There were giants. Numbers 13, verse 30. Caleb was one of the spies. Joshua and Caleb were one of the 12. He reassured the people. He stood before Moses. He said, let's go up at once and possess it. We are well able to conquer it. Let's go take possession. We're well able to conquer it. Not against people as strong as they are, the other spies said. They'll crush us. So the majority of the spies was negative. The majority report of the spies was negative. The land is full of warriors. The people are powerfully built. And we saw some of the Anakim there, descendants of the ancient race of giants. And we felt like grasshoppers. They were so tall, we looked like grasshoppers. Now notice what the 10 spies said compared to what Joshua and Caleb said. Unfortunately, the people listened to the 10 spies. Let me tell you, the majority is not always right. The whole congregation started complaining, crying all night. They wanted to stone Joshua and Caleb. They said, if only we died in Egypt, or even if we died in this wilderness, why has the Lord brought us to this land? So we would die in battle and our children would be victims. Let's select a new leader and let's go back to Egypt. That's what they said. Psalm 78, 22 says, they turned away from faith and they walked away in fear. They failed to trust in his power to help them when he was near. What happened? God was displeased. God showed up in Numbers 14. The Lord said to Moses and to Aaron, how long must I put up with this wicked community and its complaints about me? Yes, I have heard the complaints that the Israelites are making against me. Now tell them, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very things I heard you say. They got exactly what they said. They said, we wish we died in the wilderness, and that's where they did. They wandered for 40 years on a journey that would have taken 12 days. They wandered 40 years because they would not trust and believe God, and because they said, we cannot take the land, and they didn't. The only exception was Joshua and Caleb. They waited 40 years, and they were at the front when they took the promised land, the first city of Jericho. You know, God's saying the same thing to us. I'm going to do exactly what you've been saying. God hears what you say. Speak life and faith instead of fear, because the wrong words can keep you from your promised land. Have you ever heard of a man in the Bible named Setur? Have you ever heard of a man in the Bible named Gadi? Have you ever heard of a man in the Bible named Igal? How about Palti? You know why you never heard of them? They were some of the 10 spies that never made it in the promised land. You don't even know their name. They were called to be history makers, but their words kept them from it. Don't let that be you. You may be facing some big obstacles. My challenge is be a Joshua, be a Caleb, be a David. I mean, they were the only two from the generation that made it into the promised land. The second example I'm going to close with. Too long? My wife says I should close now. I'm going to end with this. I'm going to close with David. It's my favorite story in the Bible. David defeated Goliath. It looked impossible. King Saul and the army of Israel were gathered for battle against the Philistines. They faced each other on two opposite hills. Every day, the champion Philistine, Goliath, who was 10 feet tall, he would stand and shout taunts to the Israelites, challenging them, send me a man that I may fight him. And if I kill him, then you serve us. And if he kills me, we'll serve you. And King Saul and all of Israel were terrified. They were hiding in their tents. When David heard it, he said, I'll fight him. King Saul tried to talk David out of it. He said, listen, you're just a kid. He was 17 years old. King Saul told him he would not be able to defeat Goliath. David said, King Saul, when I was taking care of my father's sheep and a lion and a bear came to attack the sheep, I killed them. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be just like one of them, because he defied the armies of the living God. 1 Samuel 17. David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. David took his sling, chose 5 stones from the brook, started across the valley to fight Goliath. Goliath was shouting insults at David. Notice what David said. 1 Samuel 17:42. When the Philistine looked and he saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. He was a young, good-looking teenager. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said, now let's see what David said. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord God of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied today, this day. The Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you, and I'm going to take your head from you. And this day, I'm going to give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly will know the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. And he will give you into our hands. Notice what David said. Notice what David said. He spoke it out. He might have felt afraid, but he spoke words of faith. And his words were the catalyst in his victory because he got just what he said. And when you face giants and challenges in your life, you got to do like David, man. Say to that sickness, sickness, you're no match for me. I will defeat you. Say to that addiction. This addiction might have been in my family for years, but this is a new day and it stops with me. I'm the difference maker. I am free in the name of Jesus. Whatever giant or mountain you face in your life, no matter how big they look, don't shrink back in fear or be intimidated. Rise up in faith and tell that giant, tell that mountain, you're coming down. You got to go. Don't you know who I am? I'm a child of the Most High God. Haven't you read my birth certificate? My Father created the whole universe. He breathed life into me. He crowned me with His favor. Amen. He's called me more than a conqueror. If God is for me, who can be against me? That means you can't defeat me. You can't hold me back. Mountain, you got to come down. I will overcome this illness. I will break this addiction. I will pay my house off. I will see my family resolved. I will accomplish my dreams. What am I saying? Speak life. Speak blessing. Speak victory. Don't talk about your problem. Talk to that problem in the name of Jesus. That's what David did. Every morning, declare the favor of God. Call things that be not as though they are. Get in agreement with Him. Remind Him of His promises. Say what God says about you. Because His word coming out your mouth, man, is one of the most powerful things that you can ever do in your life. Amen. If you want to choose life and blessing, you've got to choose to speak life and blessing. Amen. Come on, give the Lord praise. Jill, get up here. Give the Lord some praise today. Say this. Say, I choose life. Say, I choose blessing. I speak life. I speak blessing in the name of Jesus. Say, I will not curse my life. I will not speak words of death. I will only speak words of blessing, words of life, words of victory, words of faith. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Come on. That's encouraged my faith. How about you? Go out of there with this on our mouths, on our lips. Amen. This is a time in the service where we have the opportunity to give to the Lord. And we usually do it near the beginning of the service. But once I heard what Pastor Steve was preaching this morning, we were talking about it, and this is so relevant even when it comes to the area of giving. So if you're watching online, there's ways for you to give. Just really simply sendchurch.us or to our website, or on even on Facebook. If you're sitting here, there's envelopes. There's various ways that you can give right here on the screen, secure ways. But thinking of that scripture in Deuteronomy 30, choose life. God says you can choose either one, but obedience is attached to the blessing. And so there's many areas that applies to, but it applies to the area of tithes and offerings. Amen? Because if we want to choose a blessed life, an abundant life, we have to choose to obey God. And when we choose to tithe and follow the word of God, then we are choosing an abundant life. We are choosing. It's not like God curses you if you don't obey Him. It's that you just open yourself up to it, right? You just don't let God work on your behalf. So He instructs us to tithe and gives offerings. And we just want to thank those who are faithful to tithe, faithful to give in this church. You know, just like you in your household, we have, you know, you have times maybe in your business. We have times where you know, in our personal lives, all of us, we have times where we have lack. Sometimes it's like that in the church, that there's times where there's lack. And many times that's caused by when people don't tithe. So, you know, then we, you know, all well and good. Maybe you're growing in that area. However, Pastor Steve and I, then we have to trust God for that finance to come in from another source, you know. So the truth is that every church in this town, around here, and around this world, if all the members were faithful to tithe, there'd never be any lack. Amen? So I encourage you, because tithing is the only place God says, test me. He says, test me and see what I'll do, that I'll give you what it is you need. I will bless you. And so I encourage you today. Thank you for participating. I also want to say to you that we want to wish Pastor Steve a happy birthday for yesterday. I'm not going to sing. Can you sing? No? Well, all the grandkids called him and sang. Each one, little Olivia, she's as shy as anything, covers her face. She's 3, but she sang the whole happy birthday song. And Roman, each one of them. And you know, I want to say this to you that, and I don't say this just as a, I'm say this as a church member. I say this as a member of the body of Christ. The Bible says that when Jesus arose, it says he gave gifts. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Who did he give those gifts to? To the church. For what? To build the church up. And therefore, we should show honor to anyone that brings us and serves us the word of God. Well, I say that we do that to people above us, people that teach us and serve us. And so if you'd like to honor, bless Pastor Steve today, if you'd like to, there is an envelope there. People sometimes ask us that you can give online. There's a category for it. But we ask you to come and join us for some cake afterwards. It's always a big hit, unless the kids got out and ate it while we were in here, but I don't think so. But come have some cake with us. Let's pray over the offering this morning. Father, we thank you for each and every person. Father, as Pastor Steve said, we continue to declare what we declare every single day over them, that they are blessed by you, that their doors of opportunity and favor are opening in front of them, Father God, that you are increasing them, that you are blessing them, that they are walking in abundance, that they have your wisdom, that they have favor everywhere they go, favor in the workplace. And thank you, Father, that your blessings are coming upon them and overtaking them in the name of Jesus. Amen. One more thing I had to mention. Next week is time change. Can you believe it? We're going to spring forward. So this is the one we have to remind you. We go back. Spring forward. We spring forward so we lose an hour. We never grew up with this, so we have to get used to it. Also, we've got a basket out there with a bunch of empty Easter eggs, and if any of you want to pick up a number and just fill them and bring them back next week, we appreciate it.
That's for the Easter egg hunt for the kids on Easter, right? So if you'd like to fill those, we appreciate that. I want to just quickly mention to you before we close that we are having a team night on Wednesday, March 12th. And everyone, if you're on our team, if you serve on any of our teams, please, will you be with us? It's important for you to be there. But also, if you're not yet on a team, this is a great night for you to come find out, meet some of our teams and the team leaders and you know, get involved. Start serving. So everybody is really welcome to join us on Wednesday, March 15th at 7 p.m., that's not this Wednesday, but the next one, we're having team night, and we ask, please, that you all be here. It's going to be great. And then also, if you have not been baptized in water, we want to have a water baptism. I need to know how many people would like to get baptized. If you fill out this water baptism card, there should be some in the seat back in front of you, or there are some in the lobby. Fill it out and hand it back so we know how many people want to get baptized. And then lastly, if you've never attended our Christian Growth Seminar, I want to start another Christian Growth Seminar. It's a Bible study class that we do on a Tuesday night. It runs for 4 weeks. It's a life-changing Bible study class. I've had so many people who've said to me, Pastor Steve, I've been a Christian 15 years. I've been a Christian 20 years. I learned more in the Christian Growth Seminar than I learned my whole Christian life. I've had many people tell me that. Fill out this Grow card. If you haven't done the Christian Growth Seminar, you need to come and do it. It's free. Fill it out. I'm waiting till we have enough people before I start it. So if you haven't done that, please fill it out. Stand up with me, everybody, and we're going to close in prayer this morning. I'm so glad you were here. Are you glad you were here? Praise the Lord. Father, we just thank you that you're so good, Lord. And we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that as we get in agreement with you, and declare the decree of the Lord, as we say what your word says, as we say about ourselves, what you say about us, Lord, That's what causes it to become a reality in our life. And I pray that every one of us, as we walk out of here today, I pray that this sermon, this message, will just stay with us, that we will continue to think about this, that this will affect our life, because we will not just be, Lord, help us not to just be hearers, but help us to be doers of your word, Father. Help us to put into practice what we've learned. Help us to speak words of life and faith and blessing every day over our life and over our family in the name of Jesus. While you have your head bowed, before we dismiss this morning, I want to pray especially if there's anyone here this morning, if you are not sure where you stand with the Lord this morning, if you're not sure if all is right, all is well between you and God, I want to pray for you. Let me ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure, you know without any doubt, that you would go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest and say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church, but I can't say that I know for sure, for certain, that I would go to heaven. Let me tell you the good news is you can know that for sure. You can walk out of here this morning knowing that all is right, all is well between you and the Lord, knowing that every mistake, every sin that you ever committed in your life, it's forgiven and is washed away, and knowing for certain that when you die, heaven is where you are going to spend all of eternity. There is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to come out, but right where you stand, while our eyes are closed, our heads are bowed, this is between you and God. If you want to be included in this prayer, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, include me. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that's you, just quickly, lift your hand up high, wave it at me. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer this morning. Thank you. God bless you. All right. Praise the Lord. I suspect that we have a house full of believers today. But I encourage you next week, bring someone with you. Look at that seat. Look at that empty seat next to you. Do you see that empty seat? Look at that empty seat. Do you know what that empty seat is? That's a brand new soul for the kingdom of God. That's a brand new, I want you to see a brand new person sitting there in the kingdom of God and in our church. That seat is an opportunity for you to fill it. Bring someone. Think about Easter. Bring someone for Easter. Have a great, great week. We'll see you next Sunday, everybody. We have tonight, we have, come and tell me, Abel, we have the youth on meeting to go mini golf at 5. Am I right?
Plus. Yeah, guys, we have another big event for the youth. So if you know anybody who's middle school, high school, encourage you to bring them out. We're doing at the Lighthouse Cove Golf Course in Tequesta from 6 to 8. We're going to do a time of mini golf. I think there's a couple rounds and then also some ice cream. So if you know anyone who's maybe doesn't know the Lord or does know the Lord and they want some fellowship with some other teenagers, feel free to bring them out. It's going to be a fun time. Did you already pray?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You guys are free to go. Love you guys. And prayer on Thursday too, 7 p.m.